Today's Hakdama is going to be the Hakdama of the Orchos Tzaddikim by popular request, I think it was, right? You wanted to do a Musar Sefer. So just a word or two about Musar. I'm sure Rabbi Cohn in his Musar Shmuz and then that he gives on Mondays spoke a little bit about learning Musar. I'm not sure exactly what he said. I didn't listen to his Shiurim yet. But just to frame it for us, you know, Orchos Tzaddikim is a classic Musar Sefer, but it's important to understand why it is that we learn Musar and what Musar is really all about, whether it's even necessary, meaning there's some people that maybe don't learn so much Musar. So the basic idea is that unlike other areas of Torah, let's say like Tanakh, Gemara, Mishnah, where there's a very clear curriculum of what needs to be learned, meaning a Jew has a chiyuv to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. So we have to learn and know Tanakh, we have to learn and know Mishnayos, we have to learn and know Talmud Bavli, we have to learn and know Halacha, know Shulchan Aruch. And a person can't just say, you know what, I'm going to study Hilchos Netilas Yadayim my whole life. I'm never going to worry about Hilchos Shabbos, I'm never going to worry about... You have to, there's a curriculum. You have to know everything that there is to know. We have to work on it to the best of our ability to try to master the curriculum of Torah. Musar is not really that way. Musar, there's no set curriculum of Musar. What the idea of learning Musar is the concept of tikkun amidos, that a person is supposed to be a good person, supposed to be a proper Eved Hashem. And part of being Eved Hashem is to constantly think about what we do, what our our belief system is, how we act, and to constantly be trying to make improvements. Now, there is no it's not a limud in the sense that you need to know Mesilas Yesharim, and if you don't know Mesilas Yesharim, then you're lacking in some way, or you need to know Derech Hashem, or you need to know Or Chesed. It's not about knowing the Sefer. You can know it backwards and forwards. You know, they tell the story, I think it's Bertrand Russell, Rav Shecht likes to tell the story, where they asked him, he was a famous ethics professor, and he was a bit also a womanizer, and he would drink too much, and he would, and they said, I don't understand, you're a professor of ethics, you're someone who teaches ethics, how could you be such an unethical person? He said, I don't know, did you ever ask your geometry professor, how could you teach geometry, you're not a square or a circle or a parallelogram? I mean, it's, in that world, or in other worlds, maybe outside of the Torah world, when someone learns something, it doesn't necessarily have to be what they are. When it comes to learning Musar, it's only effective. It only matters to the extent that it affects us and that we become different because of it. Now, there are some people that will say, you know, I want to spend my whole day learning Halacha, learning Gemara. I'm not going to learn any Musar. You know, I'll be a good person by learning Torah in other areas of Torah. It stands to reason, though, that if a person never thinks about his spiritual development, if a person never contemplates tikkun amidos, what he's doing right, what he's doing wrong, then he's not going to get better at it, and he's going to either just not improve or fall off. If a person wants to be, now it doesn't have to be dafka, like I said, through any particular sefer, but there definitely has to be a sense of sensitivity and of thinking about how we do things. Now, Moshe Feinstein was quoted as having said, and I think he's written this also, that the best Musar Sefer in the world is Talmud Bavli. The Gemara is a great Musar Sefer. The Agadot is in the Gemara. There's so many stories that you can learn from and so many messages that you can learn. Yeah, if you know how to draw the Musar out of it. What Mesilas Yesharim did, what Orchos Tzaddikim, what all these great classics Sfarim did, is they took all the sources that are there in the corpus of Torah, in Tanakh and in Shas, and sort of put it together in a condensed format so that if I know that my Mida that I need to work on is Gaiva, I'll know to turn to Shar HaGaiva, and I'll be able to study that, and I'll know everything that Chazal have to say about it, and hopefully I'll be able to internalize that. So it is possible for a person to be a great Eved Hashem without ever opening up a Musar Sefer. It's not possible for a person to be an Eved Hashem without ever doing Musar. I wouldn't say learning Musar, doing Musar. Doing Musar means cheshbon ha-nefesh, thinking about yourself, thinking about how to improve, how to become a better person. Bein adam la'atzmo, how a person will be mesakein his midos. Some people get it from secular books. There are wonderful secular books out there about self-improvement and how to change yourself and things like that. And if you know how to separate the kernel from the chaff. You know how to take what's valuable and leave aside what's not valuable. So that could be, but it has to be a sense of tikkun of oneself. So every person has their own. You know, there's a concept in Torah, in Lamed El Mashali B'Chafetz, that people learn what's exciting to them, and they're going to be most intense about the learning and things that talk to them. And while that's a nice idea on Kol HaTorah Kula, and you know, one might emphasize learning of halacha because he's more interested in halacha than he is in Agarata, but he still can't skip the Agarata Gemaras. You know, or he's more interested in halacha than he is in Tanakh, but he still has to learn Tanakh. When it comes to Musar, Ein Adam Lomid Mashali B'Chafetz is a much more critical idea, that if you're learning a Musar Sefer and it just doesn't talk to you, you're probably wasting your time. And it's important to find a Sefer that does talk to you if you're going to learn Musar in the classical way, to find something that actually affects you, that actually means something to you. So in my experience, I have not learned that many Musar Svarim. I try to get as much Musar as I can from Tanakh and from the Gemara, but the one Sefer that always struck me, well, my first Musar Sefer that I ever learned wasn't really, you know, it's really a Sefer on the Parsha. It was Sichos Musar of Rechaim Shmulevitz. It's an unbelievable Sefer because I was intrigued by the intellectual side of it at first, meaning how everything with Rayas from Gemaras and beautiful Vartlach in the Gemaras that show you, you know, about a particular midas. That was the one that originally spoke to me. And you could tell it was Dvar Mayotz Min Alev, meaning Rechaim Shmulevitz. You know, they tell the mice, I think it was in this week's in this week's Torah publication in DRS, they told the Maisa that someone went to learn in the mirror. First time he walked into the mirror and he saw a guy, an older man, sitting there on Shabbos morning just screaming and crying and crying, and like banging on the table and crying. And he said to one of his chafim, "What's going on?" They're like, "Oh, that's just Reb Chaim learning Musar." You know, like that was the way he learned Musar. That was the way Rashi Reb Chaim Shmulevitz learned. So, you know, that Sefer certainly had a tremendous impact on me personally. But then after that, Orchos Tzadikim for me was the most impactful Sefer. It spoke to me much more than Mesillas Yesharim and some of the others that might be considered even more critical classical works. It's probably because of the organization of the Sefer. It's just so clear, so organized, very easy to understand. The way it works is he takes mida by mida, and he shows the positive effects of each mida, the negative effects of each mida, with tons and tons of proofs from Psukim and Mishnayos. And he shows, so you can actually know, if I want to study about how to be less selfish, so I could open up to that shar in the Sefer, and I'll have it focused right there on that page. So I used to learn Orchot Tzadikim with a chavrus of mine, who's a rebbe now in Boston, I believe, Rabbi David Bailori. Was when I was in 12th grade, we were chavrusas. We used to learn 12 to 12:30 at night. We would learn Musar every night. So Orchot Tzadikim always had a special impact on me. That's why I wanted to go and look back at the Akdama of the Orchot Tzadikim. The Orchot Tzadikim was not originally called Orchot Tzadikim. It's unclear exactly when it got that name. It doesn't seem to be the right name. It was called Sefer Hamidos. That seems to be a much better name for the Sefer, because it actually goes through Sefer Hamidos. It actually goes through Mida by Mida, Gaiva, Anava. You know, it goes through one Mida at a time. So that was its original. Also, the first time it was published seems to have been in the Yiddish translation, but it ultimately was published in Hebrew, which seems to have been how it was originally written. It is an anonymous Sefer. No one knows who wrote it. There have been various guesses. They're probably all wrong. We don't know who wrote it. That's part of, you know, there's a whole mahalich in Musar Svarim to dafka write them anonymously. That if you don't write them anonymously, so what are you saying? You're saying that I'm able to give Musar to everybody else and tell you, well then what kind of Baal Musar are you, right? So there's a whole mahalich of dafka writing Musar Svarim anonymously. So let's begin at the beginning of the Orchot Tzadikim, see what he has to say of the beginning of the Hakdama. So we'll read some of it inside, not all of it. Let's start on page 1 over here. Sof dovar kol nishmas ha'lkim yareves mitzvos of shemar ki zeh kol ha'adam. person has to have Yir Shamayim and observe mitzvahs. The Shlomo Melech tells us in Kohelis. Shlomo Chacham v'Gadol Hayim Mikola Adam v'Yim Melech Al Tachton v'Al Elyonim. Chazal tells us that Shlomo Melech was the king not only of all of earth but of all of heaven as well. V'Achar Shara Kol Ha'Maisim v'Nisa Kol Ha'Dvarim. So he researched and looked at everything. He had this tremendous perspective as being someone who was Melech of everything. V'Odiyah Chachmos, and he was a great Chacham who was able to teach Chachma. Sasam Kol Dvarim V'Amar. He said, at the end of the day, if you could whittle down all of life into a single sentence, so shall Kol Dvarhu, the bottom line, the end of everything, the point of everything is Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem is Reishis Das, Isha Yiras Hashem Hitas Halal, Shlomo Melech was the Asher Mikol Adam, and yet he says about money that it's Hevel Havalim, it's a bunch of garbage. We should be Osek, primarily our focus should be Yiras Shemayim. He says it wasn't just Shlomo Melech that said this, Moshe Rabbeinu writes it in the Torah as well. V'atah Yisrael Ma'asha Melechach Shoyal Me'imach, Kiim L'Yiras Hashem Elokecha. Moshe Rabbeinu has to identify what's the one thing Hashem asks from you? L'Yiras Hashem Elokecha. David HaMelech, Sefer Tehillim, Reishis Chachma, Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem is the purpose of life. It's our goal in life. So says the Aruch HaTzadikim in the second paragraph, M'nei Shanu Ro'am Ha'adam Mivchar B'Borei Ba'olam HaTachton Ki Hu Mesukan B'Tzurasa V'yesh Bo HaNeshama HaMispo Nene Sod HaElyonim V'Tachtonim. A person finds himself always contemplating, thinking about things, thinking about life, thinking about what it all means. V'kol Zeh Shu Inyin Kol HaKavonos Mizeh HaOlam V'kol Mashen Ever Ba'al Mazeh HaKol Tzorcho. And you come to appreciate that everything in this world was put here for his needs. And God gave us the Torah to give us instructions of how to deal with this world, because Hashem loves man, Hashem loves people. We see that the malachim are there to serve people in a certain sense, like we just have in this coming week's parashas, parashas Vayera, right? The malachim are there and shlichus tavram avinu, and that's the pasuk. Malach ha'goel osi mikol ra'i yivarech asanarim. That's the purpose of all of the bria, is to somehow serve man to reach his goal and to achieve his connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he writes, chamisha kochos yesh ba'adam. Person has five senses. Koach HaShmiya, we can hear. Koach HaRaos, we see. Koach HaReach, we smell. Koach HaTam, we taste. And Koach HaMishush, the sense of touch. That a person, so the five senses. He says, Chamisha kochos halalu kula maisa adam ve'in pula nasas b'lachan mi'chamisha kochos. Nothing that man does is without one of these five senses. Everything involves these five senses. Halev po'al al yadayim ki chamisha kochos elu mevim lelev kol inyan. He says the heart works, meaning a person's desires, a person's emotions work off of these kochos. These kochos feed into a person's emotions, support a person's emotions and desires. V'kol maisu machshav nimshachem achareihem. Everything that we do and everything that we think starts with these. Halev yesh bo deos rabos, kigon hagaiva, v'anava, hazikaron, v'ashicha. The heart has a lot of different kinds of conflicting emotions that it's capable of. We could be arrogant, we could be humble, we remember sometimes, we forget sometimes. Hayagon vasimcha, we're sad sometimes, we're happy sometimes. Habusha, sometimes we're more reserved and embarrassed. Va'azos, sometimes we're more chutzpadik, we're more out there. Ukeilu yeshod rabos, v'kol elu hadeos mischazkos michamisha kochos, ki asum lo yachol eskos kilu hayroa. He says, and all of this comes about because of the powers that God gave us. These kochos, these five, notice how in English we call it senses, right? But it was somewhat, he's calling them. He's calling them kochos. Why does he call them kochos? Because he says this is where a person draws his koach from. It's where a person draws his strength and his gaiva and his. Because someone who's blind can't be mizga'e that he can see. He can't. Meaning it's because it makes a person feel powerful. When I can touch something, I can feel something, so I have a sense of what this is because I can touch it. I see something, I have a sense of what it is because I can see it. So I feel like a certain sense of power because now I know what it is that I'm dealing with. I feel like I'm in a little more control. So l'chein kol adam hanilvav yishtada b'kol kochel la'gil l'tachtas ha'tova. So a person should try with all of his might to achieve the ultimate good. She'migi adam l'mal ha'tova, l'olom yach mal dalos el mal ha'shi l'mal ha'mimena. And one very critical point in life, in general, especially for those who learn Musar, it's critical to always realize this, is that there is no point where you say, okay, I made it, you know, I got there, I'm done now. Whenever you achieve level one, so it's like a never-ending lahavdil, it's like a never-ending video game, you know? You have level one, then level two, and then if you achieve level two, so then you go on to the next board, and then, so there is no end. There's always, there's always the next challenge around the corner. We're always looking for to achieve the next maila. I always thought that was the pshat of the Medrash. The Medrash says, the Chumash tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and he had a glow to his face. Kikara nor panav. So the Medrash says, Mehecha notal Moshe karne ahod. Where did Moshe get this karne ahod, this glow to his face? It's a pretty neat trick, right? To have a glow to your face. So the Medrash says that after he finished writing the Torah, there was a little bit of ink left in his inkwell, and he rubbed it on his face, on his forehead, like a war paint, whatever, and that was his karne ahod. So obviously the Medrash is not speaking literally, first of all, because ink doesn't glow, but also because, like, what does that even mean? Meaning the Medrash is speaking midrashically, as, you know, midrashim should. And what the Medrash is probably trying to tell us, I always thought, is that, think about what Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished. He wrote the Torah. He wrote the which is by far the best-selling book of all time. It's God's autobiography. I mean, there has never been a more important work than that. He brought the Torah from Shemayim and brought it down here to earth. No other human being before him or after him could have possibly done that. Moshe Rabbeinu, unbelievable. What do you do when you finish doing that? So what I would do, you play golf. You retire. I mean, he did. What more do you want from him? He did everything. That those last bits of ink represent Moshe Rabbeinu's recognition of the fact that I'm not done. That if there's any more potential in me, I'm going to use all of it. It's those last bits of ink that give him the karne ahod, that make him special. That no matter what we accomplish in life, no matter where we are, no matter how high our achievements are, there's always something else. There's always the next step. There's always something more to achieve. So a person should always realize this. And ultimately we'll get to the olam ha'gemul. That's Olam Haba is referred to as Olam HaGemul. The Ramban is a sefer called Shar HaGemul. Shar HaGemul is all about Inyanei Olam Haba, what it's like, how Yimus Mashiach is going to work, how Tchias HaMesim is going to work. Ukvar Nesavet Dovel Deagil L'Tov Olam Haba. B'Amar Rav Tov Mas Tuvecha Asher Tzvati L'Recha. Dovel HaMelech talks longingly about how wonderful Olam Haba is, and that's the ultimate end game. We should realize that that's where we're all headed. On page 2, So he says we need to understand different strengths and weaknesses that we have, different positive activities and negative activities, until we find a path in life. So we'll get to the king's courtyard. So he said we have to figure out how to choose the good things in life and the things that will be helpful to us as Ovdei Hashem, and reject those things that should be rejected, that are not healthy for us. So Ketzad, Yesh Adam Shu Bal Chema V'Koyes Tavit. For instance, he says, you have a guy who's always getting angry. V'Yesh Adam Shedaitam Yushav V'Solavein V'Koyes Klal. Some people by nature are just calm. They just don't, you know, they don't relax. That's just their nature. V'Yim Yichas, Yichas Ka'as Ma'at B'Kam Hashanim. And if he does get angry, once in a blue moon, you know? Okay, it's just a calm nature. He's a sweet, gentle soul. Sometimes a person is very arrogant. He's very haughty. Some people are naturally humble. Some people always want more. They got to be the first in line for the food because they got to get the best piece of food because they're a baltaiva. They need to always fill their taivas. They have to have and when they get older, they have to have the nicest car and the newest thing and because they're a baltaiva. And some people, you know, not because they're b'nei Torah, just because that's the way they are. They're very happy with very little. There are people like that. They're just very happy with very little. Some people, all the money in the world will never make them happy. And others, even a little bit, they're very happy, they don't need so much money. Some people would never want to waste a single penny, and other people don't have no problem, they spend freely. And the same is true with every daya. Daya means midah, right? When the Rambam writes Hilchos Deos, the Rambam was writing the halachos of midos, the person's midos. So he says it's like this all the time. There are different people with different inclinations naturally. The next paragraph called Deos, Yesh men Deos she'elod mitchios b'yasol lefi teva gufo. Some of them naturally is just built in. Yesh men Deos she'tivo she'elod mizem b'chuvan va'asol lekabelos b'meheri yosem mishara Deos. Some aren't natural but are easier for a person to learn. A person is more receptive to certain midos. Sometimes you could have a person that was born, let's say, as a tremendous balkas, but he worked in it and he realized, you know, this isn't good for me. It's not healthy. It's not appropriate. And he works in it and he manages to overcome that and he's not a balkas anymore. I think they say, I think Rav Moshe Feinstein said to Rav Ruvain, tells a story that he told Rav Ruvain once. That by nature, he says, I think it was Kas. I don't know if it was Kas or Gaiva. I think it was Kas that he said. By nature, I'm a big Baal Kas, and it took me years and years and years. But Moshe was known as like the gentlest person in the entire world. I mean, he was as soft as they come, right? And yet he said that wasn't my nature. That took a lot of work to get there. And that's really one of the keys to the Sefer. That last line that I just read. One of the keys to the Sefer is he highlights by each midah that yesh midah shetzarech lishtamish b'berov ha'mekomos v'yesh midah shetzarech lishtamish b'ma'at. There's no such thing, almost no such thing as a bad midah. Even gaiva. There's no such thing as a bad midah. There's such a thing as using a midah badly, but not a bad midah. Just some midos you have to use all the time, 99% of the time, and some midos should only be used 1% of the time. So gaiva is one of those midos, let's say, or kas is one of those midos that should be used 1% of the time. Other midos, the ones that we call good midos, sometimes they're bad if they're used out of context. Those are the midos that should be used 99% of the time. So a person has to know not just what midos to have, you should have all the midos. A person has to know when to use each of the midos. Person shouldn't be arrogant or shouldn't be argumentative. But if you have to stand up for the Kavodat Torah, so a person has to be willing to stand up for Kavodat Torah. If a person's always meek and he's always off in a corner somewhere and there's a tremendous Chilul Hashem going on, so that's not a proper midah to be meek and off in a corner somewhere. Right? We were just talking about Rav Avadya Yosef. If there's anyone that was ever knew how to use that that passion for Torah and for what he viewed as the right and wrong, you have to stand up sometimes. He says, it's like, he gives a beautiful mashal. He says, it's like when you make a chicken soup. You know, when you're making a chalent. So you have to put in all sorts of different things. You put in spices, you put in beans, you put in whatever, all the different things. What if you put in a ton of salt and very little potatoes or something? So it's not going to taste good. The whole thing will be ruined. The whole thing is knowing the proper measure. That's the whole kunst. The whole kunst of making of making the dish of a proper human being is to know the proper measure of each midah and how to apply each midah. So he says, Te Davatav, in a few paragraphs down, Mi shetivon nota l'midah ra, usher hurgo b'midah ra, v'lo yitin l'libo lo shuv mimena. Let's say a person has, by nature, he's a balgaiva. And he doesn't try to be misakin that. He doesn't try to fix it. Achtamin miskabriba. So what happens, you constantly get stronger in that midah. If you're not fixing it, it's getting worse. If it's not being addressed, it's getting worse. Ultimately, you get to the point where not only do you not have the midos tovos, you become disgusted by the midos tovos. He says, just like a physical ailment, when a person is suffering physically, has some sort of physical illness, he's in pain. So, meaning when you're in pain, it's a simen that you're sick. So someone who has midos rose, it's a spiritual ailment. He's ill. And when a person is sick, sometimes his taste buds are all messed up. He has something sweet and it tastes bitter. He has something bitter and it tastes sweet. So someone who has an illness of the neshama, of the nefesh, an illness of spirituality, so when he sees something good and sweet, he views it as something negative. He views it as something bad. When he sees something bad, he views it as something good. Like the whole, his whole perception of reality, his whole perception of the world becomes messed up because he's ill, because he has this spiritual illness. And he becomes someone who loves evil, who loves the bad things in life. So what do you do? What do you do if a person has such an illness? So what do you do when you're sick? So someone who's sick, as a normal person, goes to a doctor. So he says, so you need to find a doctor. So you have to find somebody. Yelcho yitzal ha-chachamim, sheheim rofei ha-nefashos. Go to the doctors. They are the rofei ha-nefashos. V'yirapu chalyam b'deo shemalamdim osam. And they'll figure out how to cure your illness until they put you on the right path. V'amakirim b'deo saroh shalem v'enam holchim yitzal ha-chacham l'rapei osam aleyam amar shlomo chachma musar v'ilum bazu. Someone who refuses to go to a doctor is rejecting chachma. He writes, "Yesh kama bnei adam asher tavasam litfos derech hatov veinim yodim matov lahem." There's a lot of people that want to do good, they just don't know what good means, and they think each day that they're going to achieve something else, but they're never actually going to get there. He says, and there are two reasons for this. Sometimes a person is not makir his own chisaron. He doesn't know what's wrong with him. He says, "Domel ruuvei amachape shimon veinim makiro." It's like I'm going around looking for somebody, and someone says, "Oh, can I help you?" Yeah, I'm looking for somebody. Who are you looking for? Shimon. What does he look like? I don't know. I never saw him before. Well, how are you looking for Shimon if you've never seen him before? Do you have a picture? Nope. A description? Nope. Just looking for Shimon. A big crowd. You're not going to find Shimon if you don't know who Shimon is. So someone could be looking for Midos. But he has no idea. He has no hakara of what his own chesronos are. So I want to be Messiah, I want to be better. But if you don't have a recognition of yourself, how are you going to be better? And people are very bad at recognizing themselves. By nature, we're not good judges of ourselves. I've mentioned the stat recently, something like an overwhelming majority of society believes that they have above average intelligence. Right? And that just can't be, right? It can't be that 80% of the world is above average in anything. We're just not good at looking at ourselves. We're not good at judging ourselves. So I feel you could look all day, you're not going to find him. Because you could have passed by him 1,000 times and you wouldn't have known that it was Shimon if you don't know what Shimon looks like. So I want to do something good today. I don't know what good is. So I could pass by 100 opportunities to do good and I'm not doing any good. Then he says, "V'yesh adam shuyadeh hamidos haros sheyesh bo." Some people, on page 3 over here, you know what your midos haros are. V'choshev lotzeis mehen, and you're going to leave all these midos. V'lechos midos tovos, you're going to do good things. V'gam hu lo yasi kol yama v'derech yasher. But sometimes a person still won't be able to, even knowing what his bad midos are, still not going to accomplish the derech yasher. Why? Machla shemisatza l'chapeis hamidos tovos karotwin. Because some people just don't like to put in the work necessary in order to find the midos tovos. It's not easy. A lot of people think, you know, learning Gemara is hard. It doesn't even hold a candle. It's not even close to the challenge of fixing oneself, of improving oneself, of becoming a better person. It's like Reuven looking for Shimon, but this time Reuven knows who Shimon is. He knows exactly what Shimon looks like. But he's not going to find him. You know why? Because he doesn't get out of bed to look for him. He's looking around his room. Shimon's not in your room. You got to go out. You got to find him. You got to see where he is. You have to make some effort. So that's another common mistake that people make. Then he writes in the next paragraph, "Yesh adam hamishtana b'minhagim v'eino kavua." He said, and a lot of times a person is willing to put in a certain amount of effort, and this is also such critical mussar, especially in today's day and age of instant gratification. And a person starts down a path, and if he doesn't have instant results on that path, he immediately abandons it and tries something else. And then when there's no instant results on that path, immediately he'll go to something else. You're never going to find anything that way. If Lamashal, Lahavir, if Tiger Woods, when he was 4 years old and he was swinging his first golf club, you know, he didn't hit a hole in one, said, "Oh, this stinks, I can't do this, I'm terrible at golf." He probably was at 4 years old. I mean, not for a four-year-old, but was it? No. You abandon it then, yes, you will always be terrible at it if you abandon it then. He says, "Zman echad oches b'minag zeh, zman echad misalik me'osah b'minag v'oches b'minag acher." V'kachah yosadom. He's doing this and this. He's not focused. Not focused on what on a task at hand. He's just running from one to the other. He says, "V'u domel adam shechavis lechas ilir v'ini yodei adarka." It's like a person who wants to get to a certain location and he doesn't know how to get there. He doesn't have Waze on his smartphone. V'lo yakir ashvilim ha'melichim osah. So he doesn't know which path takes him to the city. So what is he? L'chinu mishtomim. So he just wanders around. Tries this way, that way, stops, goes back, goes around. And he just ends up wandering forever and ever. You need direction, you need a path, and you need to stick with that path if you ever want to get somewhere. Perseverance. A person needs to persevere. It's certainly true in learning, but it's true in everything in life. A person is never going to find success by thinking about it for 5 minutes, trying it for 10, and then dropping it when he realizes that he's not the Rashka Bahag, when he's not the greatest person in that, you know, in that endeavor after a few short attempts. So he says what we need to do as Jews who are responsible for others, not only for ourselves, but for other people, we should try to help people find their path. Yesh lachmal al nashim hatavuin bahevle yashav. Have rachmanus on people who are drowning in the nothingness of this world. L'lamdam tzedek, kamishkal v'yosha moznayim. We should teach them how to properly weigh things and the value of the right things in life. L'odiyam b'chinas ha-kesef, l'horos lem adrach me'yisharim, l'man sh'yivar adam b'tchilas ha-vchanos ha-mesila asher tevi'a l'makam ranan v'dashen, asher shom kol ha-tov avihi Yerushamayim. Show them a path that they can travel on toward Yerushamayim. Sh'arhi sof kol ha-masim. That's what we have to do. Ma Hashem Sholmei Machim Lira. So he says, L'chein yesh lo diya l'kol. Ki kol ish harotz l'havi nafsho lidei midos tovos, tzorich la'arev yirah shemayim im kol mida umida. Very important. I mentioned before, reading secular books and getting ideas of midos. Yeah, it's good for ideas. But ultimately, if a person is going to practice midos properly, if a person is going to become a great person, every midah that he has to be influenced with Yiras Shemayim. Ki Yiras Hashem hi amachzekas kol amidos. That's what supports all other midos. V'domel l'chut shechnisu tochore hamargolios. V'kashro kesher b'tachtiso l'schazi kol hamargolios. It's like a strand of pearls. What's the string worth in a strand of pearls? Not much, right? But without the string, what do you have? Nothing. They fall all over the place and you can't even find them. They roll all over the place. The thing that holds it all together is that string. He says that string is the Yirah Shemayim. Yirah is what holds all the midos together into a beautiful strand of pearls. Ukshein biyadcha midos tovos em biyadcha tor mitzvos. Look, if you don't have midos tovos, you just have a string. Ki kol ha-torah tluya b'tikun ha-midos. Kol ha-midos tovos v'ra'os, ha-chacham yachal asos ha-ra'os l'tovos, v'aksil yasos midos tovos l'ra'os. A chacham knows how to turn bad midos into good ones. A fool knows how to do the opposite. Misha holich b'choshech ve'enu mizbonin b'tikun amidos. Efshar shetei midah amaved es kol zuchu yosef kigon amizka b'maisav v'mispar miyaf ha'atzma tamir b'gnusa shal chavero u'mischabit b'klono. Someone who doesn't think about what he's doing, doesn't think about how to fix his midos, it could be that all of his mitzvahs are going to end up counting for nothing because he's so full of gaiva that every single one of his midos, every single one of his accomplishments rather, he's always going to be experiencing them at the expense of someone else and enjoying someone else's downfall and mocking other people. Well, then what are his accomplishments worth? He says it's like Mimali Chavis Yayin Meshubach, Yesh Petachtis HaChavis Nekev Katan. He says, the person doesn't have Yer Shemayim and he thinks he has this great Midah, so it's like filling up a barrel of wine and there's just one little hole at the bottom of the barrel. You're going to be left with nothing. Everything's going to fall away. That's Yerushalayim. Can we mali Torah, but you could lose everything with a single midah ra'ah, because if you're not motivated by Yirat Shamayim and you're not constantly looking how to be misak in the midos, everything could fall away. And he points to the reality, ma'atim heim ba'olam hamakir ma'emes. There aren't that many people that recognize the truth. Yeshein chacham lahakir, ukmo shein haketur shtei raglav yachal alas alasulam, kach lo yalav madregas hachacham mishein b'otvuna. Some people aren't intelligent enough to be makir the emes, just like someone who doesn't have legs can't climb a ladder. V'yeshu chacham v'nitpa b'tayvus olam min u'rav, ashi yasam kol chachmas alasik tavas alasas ratzon yisra ara. And more often, you have people who are plenty wise to be able to rise maila l'maila. They have plenty of chachma. God bless them, plenty of chachma. And they use all of that chachma to serve their yetzer hara. They use all that chachma to achieve their taivas. Because they grow into habits at a young age, and it's very hard to leave habits that develop at a young age. And sometimes, he says, there are people that have chachma lahakir and want to go on the derech hatov, but had no one to learn from. Never had a Rebbe. Never had someone to learn the Derech HaYashar from. Never had someone who they can learn Midos from. It's very important at all stages in life to always have someone to look up to. If you ever get to a point in life where there's no one to look up to, you're doing something wrong. You can be 95 years old. So maybe it'll be someone younger than you. There should always be a model, someone to look up to. People get into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. And they develop a terrible sense of gaiva when they get to a stage in life where they think they don't need a Rebbe anymore, they don't need hadracha parents anymore, they don't need influences from above them, people who are in a station of life above them. Person always needs someone who's willing to put them in their place. Someone who's willing to be honest with them. Someone who's willing to say, listen, you're being foolish. This is not the way you're supposed to. Someone who's not afraid of them. And it's challenging. Some people are very wealthy and no one wants to tell them when they're doing something wrong. Some people are big talmidei chachamim, so nobody wants to tell them when they're doing something wrong. Prominent rabbis, so no one wants to tell them when they're doing something wrong. So a person has to find people who are going to be honest with him. Most often a spouse, you know, someone who could really put you in your place. One of my rebbeim was very careful to make sure that his spouse knew that he was relying on her to put him in his place. It's very, very important that a person should always have this. And, he says, a person should always be on guard. The Yetzer Hara doesn't take any vacations. You hide for 1 minute and you stop paying attention to how to fix your midos, he'll jump all over you. It's like a chaya ra'a. And all of a sudden, the taiva and the gaiva and the sinna and the katz, and it all goes out of control. Always, always be on guard. On page 4 over here in the second paragraph, Hadam b'shash nolad, when a person is born, hu begufo b'chachmaso chalash mishar kalabrios. It's amazing. When people are born, we are much weaker than other animals. Ki kalabrios b'yomi v'aldanayin holchos v'olchos m'seyos le'atzman. A baby lion is born, a baby bear is born, a baby... They walk, and they eat, and they could pretty much fend for themselves. A day or two, you know, they need their mother to protect them. But it's not like Disney movies, you know? They're really much more independent. A human being left on their own when we're born? Blank slate. We can't help ourselves. We're totally helpless. And this is done on purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that we have a blank slate and we have the ability to develop as we want to develop. We can become good people or bad people, and it's not all built into us from birth. Shor ben yomo nikra shor. An ox that's one day old is already called an ox. Ben adam ben yomo is lo nikra ben adam. A human being one day old is not called an ish. Become an ish later on. He's a baby, he's a tinok. Nothing. And we're very impressionable. We're very, very impressionable at a young age. And that's something to be aware of in terms of what we expose our children to. I was just talking to somebody yesterday about a certain yeshiva that's been working much harder at providing guidance for boys that are 18, 19, 20 years old than they always had in the past. And the person said, yeah, but what are they accomplishing by providing guidance and being on top of them and knowing where everyone's holding? What are they accomplishing? Ultimately, these people are going to have to go out into the real world and no one's going to be on top of them. And no one's going to be, you know, looking at all their midos. I said, what a stupid comment. No? When you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, we're still very impressionable. We're not a finished product. We're still developing. We're still growing. Hopefully we should always grow. When you're 25 years old, 26 years old, you know, hopefully you're at least in the parsha or almost getting married or whatever, and you're already much more kavua in who you are. So when we're impressionable, it's very important to have the right kinds of influences in our lives. And the Orach HaTzaddikim concludes this Akdama by saying, Zeh Sefer Midos, notice what he calls it, Sefer Midos, he didn't call it Orach HaTzaddikim, Nichtav V'nechtam B'Taba'as HaChachma, L'Lamid Adam Das, Leo Sefer Zabiyad Kol Ish L'Klei Umnos, he says, I'm giving you this Sefer as a tool, L'Sakin Mitochel Midosov V'Ma'asov, use this Sefer to fix your Midos, fix your actions, Ki Yo'uman Asher B'Yado Klei Umnoso Yochel Asos Malachto. If a worker has the tools he needs to do the job, he'll do the job right. Or he can do the job right. If he doesn't have the proper tools, he won't do the job right. L'chein shemabni, Musar, v'kach klei umnosecha biyadecha l'sakin midosecha. Take this klei umnos and do the right thing. Appreciate the value of each midah. And he says, that's why I dedicate a chapter to each midah. Appreciate that every midah is important. And how to properly include each midah into the totality of your personality. And he concludes that he's going to tell you where each midah comes from, how each midah can help you, how each midah can hurt you. V'kavanasenu l'hashiv tivei ha'adam me'inyan ha'sichlos el avas ha'musar. He says, I just don't want you to be a fool. I want you to love Musar, to appreciate self-improvement. And if we're uneducated, we should appreciate the nature of a wise person so that we could try to strive to be a wise person. And he says, and I pray to Hashem that I should have the wisdom to do it properly and to teach people properly the proper derech of following Hashem. Included over here, there's a little paragraph from Wikipedia about, you know, the various influences of Orach HaTzaddikim, where it came from, probably 15th century Germany. It's really beside the point. It follows the derech of many other Musar Sefarim. But again, as I said before, the key is not this Musar Sefer or that Musar Sefer. The key is to be a Baal Musar. The key is to always be misaking our midos. And it's not only, and this sometimes people make a mistake, it's not only about doing the right things. It's about being a good person. That's what Musar is really about. You know, there are two Gemaras. There's a Gemara in Misach HaSota, at the end of the first part of Sota, the Gemara says, Mahu mal b'sharumim, mafatam mal b'sharumim, mahu mevakar chol, mafatam mevakar chol, we should do whatever God does. And then there's another Gemara in Shabbos, Rambam Basra, Mahu rachu mafata rachu, mahu chanu mafata chanu. Just like Hashem is merciful, so everyone asks, it's the same thing. No, why does one give examples of malbish harumim and mevakar cholim, and the other one of rachum the chanun? It means be like God, right? So Rav Asher Weiss points out, and many others point out, there's a big difference when you describe mevakar cholim, malbish harumim. We're talking about what we do. When we describe rachum chanun, we're talking about what we are. Whether I have the ability to give tzedakah to somebody, but I'm a rachum. I feel somebody else's pain. It's what we are. And that's what Musar is about. It's not only about what we do. Hopefully what we are will ultimately affect what we do. But what we do, the chesed that we do, should not be divorced from what we are. Meaning it should be a reflection of actually being good people and having the proper balance of all of the different midos.